Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra Daf Yotes, and we will begin on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph of the second line. V'lo nevreches hakoyfsim. Our Mishnah taught us that we have to distance the place where they did the laundry from a bar. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, lo shana ela mina mechamtzon. First we'll explain how Rashi explains it. Mechamtzon, when they did laundry, Rashi says they had two pools. They had one pool where they actually just soaked the laundry, and they had another pool where they scrubbed the laundry. So says Rabbi Baravu, when our Mishnah says that we have to distance from the place where they do laundry, three tefachim is only from the place where they soak the laundry. Amun amenayden, from the place where they scrub at the pool where they scrub the laundry, there has to be a distance of dalet amos. Other Rishonim explained the Gemara that the distinction is between a pool and what they used to call a vash breitel. There's no water involved, but they used to, yes, scrub the laundry. That they need to separate from dal tefachim. And says the Gemara, Tanya Namihochi, dal ramas. Tanya Namihochi, so we learned in a braisa. Nevreches hakoisim, when we're distancing from the place where they scrub the laundry, dal ramas. Asked the Gemara, Vanantana, didn't our Mishnah say that you distance Gimel Tfachim? El Shmami, no. Could Rav Nachman, there's a difference between the place where it's soaked versus the place where it's rubbed. Vika, others have this same, they get to the same conclusion through a question and answer form. Ika Duramale Mirma. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nevrakas Akaivsim, that the pool is distance Gimel Tfachim. Vatanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa that it's distanced Arba Amis? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, like Kasha. Kam and a Mechamtzon, we distance three Tfachim. Kam and a Dayon, we distance four Amis. Another version, again with the same conclusion, Rav Chia Bar A, the Rav Avya Masn LaBehedya. He said it explicitly. Elm Ken Herchit, Misras, a Mechamtzon, specifically when we're talking about the pool, that's where it has to be distanced Gimel Tfachim. Otherwise, if we're talking about the place where the laundry is rubbed, it has to be four amos. So as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah has two cases. First, our Mishnah spoke about the different things, the different places that have to be distanced from a bar. And then our Mishnah spoke about what has to be distanced from a wall. When our Mishnah spoke the second case about what has to be distanced from a wall, the Mishnah clearly said, Oisod Besid, which means either distance or coat the wall with lime, and that will be as good as distancing. Now, and here we have a Machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara again. Rashi learns the Gemara as follows. The Gemara's question now is the first case, the different areas that have to be distanced from a bar. That the Mishnah says they have to be distanced three tefachim. And then the Mishnah says sod besid. So Rashi says that the Gemara's question now is, what is the proper girsa in our Mishnah? Is the proper girsa in our Mishnah oy sod besid? And here too the halacha will be, you have a choice, either distance or coat, or is the girsa of the Mishnah this sod besid? And here you need to do both, coating and distancing. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos learns the Gemara. Other Rishonim learn the Gemara. The same point, just the question with a little different twist. The girsa of the Mishnah is known. The girsa in the first part of the Mishnah is visod. The question is, we know throughout Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, vav can mean or vav can mean and. And the question of our Gemara is, how do we define the vav in the first case? Does it mean or sod besid, and now you have a choice, or does it mean this sod besid, you have to do both? And that's the Gemara's question. Ibailu, this sod besid, tanan, does the Mishnah teach us that besides the distancing, we also have to coat it? Idilma, oi sod besid, tanan, the way to understand the Mishnah is that you have a choice, says the Gemara. Shita, it's obvious, the visod besid, tanan. The way to understand the ratio is that you have to do both. Why, says the Gemara? This Al-Kedatach, if we're going to suggest that even in the first case of the Mishnah, Oysa the Sitanan, the Halach is you have a choice, either coat or distance, so then it turns out that the Halacha in both cases is identical. You have a choice, either distancing or coating. So why does the Mishnah break it into two categories? In Kein Lervinu V'lesninu. Why does the Mishnah just teach us all of the cases together and teach us that you always have a choice, coat or distance? Says, well, that's not a raya. Dema, Mishum Delay Dami, Hayazeka, Lahayazeka. The type of damage that's done in the Reisha is a different type of damage that's done in the second case. Reisha, the Reisha is referring to a situation where the damage is done through Mesuna because of the moisture in these pits. Seifa is referring to a situation, the Havla, where because of its heat. And that's why the Mishnah chose to keep them into separate categories. Not because the din in these categories is different. The din can be identical, but because it's different type of damage, the Mishnah separates it. So Rishonim, Ritva, makes a very powerful observation based on this teretz. Why can't the Gemara give a simpler teretz, says the Ritva? The first case, as we see explicitly in the Mishnah, is referring to a situation that we're distancing from a pit. The second case, we're distancing from a wall. So why does the Gemara just say simple teretz? The ratio we're distancing from a pit. The next case, we're distancing from a wall. That's the difference. Well, you have to start telling me what the damage is. Says the Ritva, because the Gemara didn't give that teretz, from here we see that the cases that are mentioned in the first case of the Mishnah, the bar, the siach, the mara, the wash, the laundry pit, there that you have, where the Mishnah says about distancing them from a pit, it's not only distancing them from a pit. You have to distance them from a wall also. So that's not the difference between the Reish and the Sefer. Because the Reish is also talking about things that have to be distanced from a wall. So that can't be the distinction between the Reish and the Sefer. What must be the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? That the Reish is talking about moisture damage, the Sefer is talking about heat damage. Toshma, so the Gemara tries with a different raya. There's a brisa which we quoted earlier. Rav Yehuda Omer, Sela Habab Yadayim, if you have soil that's very soft, Zeh Choyfer Bari Mekan, the Zeh Choyfer Bari Mekan. Each one could dig a pit in his property. However, Zeh Machir Gimel Tfachim, the Sabasid, each one has to distance 3 Tfachim and coat it with lime. The Zer Machir Gimel Tfachim is Sabasid. Tama, so what is Rabbi Yehuda teaching us? The Bobi Yadayim, as the Rishonim explain. If Rabbi Yehuda felt the need to introduce a new case, a case where we have soft soil, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda saying is that in a place where we have soft soil, there we need to have both distancing and coating. Haloi Bobi Yadayim, but if it's regular soil, Loi, distancing is enough. Because, explain the Rishonim, if the halacha by soft soil and regular soil is identical, so what do I need Rabbi Yehuda to teach me about soft soil? He could have just, it has the same din as all soil. It must be that what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to teach us? That by soft soil, we need both, distancing and coating. By regular soil, distancing is enough. Says no, that's not, says the Gemara Loi. That's not the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda. Who are then Afgav the Loi Bobi Yadayim? Even though it's not soft soil, Sabasid, you always have to do both, distance and coat. So if so, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to teach me new? Or Bobi Yadayim Itzuchalei. Sak Dat Chamina. Because we would think by soft soil. Kiven the Bobi Yadayim, Leboi Rafka Tvei, we should need more distancing than 3 Tvachim. That's why he comes to teach us, no, that by soft soil, 3 tfachim is still enough. The Rishonim make a number of observations here. When we started the perek, we spoke about a pit and what damage one pit could do to another pit. And we quoted Tosfos' opinion, which is the opinion of many Rishonim, that there are two issues with a soft, with a pit. Number one is the actual digging. The actual digging causes weakness to neighboring pits. And then because water and moisture accumulate in the pit, it continues to make damage. Which is a very simple way of understanding the Gemara. Why the Gemara would suggest that besides for distancing, you also need to do coating. Why? Because since you have this ongoing damage of moisture, so the ongoing damage of moisture creates a problem that could be solved, perhaps, with coating. But according to the Rishonim, the Meiri, they'll learn that the entire issue with digging one pit next to another pit is the actual digging. That while I'm digging this pit, it could cause damage to a neighboring pit. So why would coating help me? It's already done. The digging is the issue, not the ongoing moisture. And it's clearly, the Gemara does speak about moisture as a problem with pit. How will the Rishonim explain themselves? So the Rishonim, those Rishonim say that even if there is no moisture in the pit, the actual softening of the ground could cause problems for a neighboring pit without moisture. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that coating it would solve that problem. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, our Gemara doesn't resolve this question if you need to do both. But the Rambam paskins that you need to do both. You need to distance and coat. And there are different explanations given in understanding the Rambam's opinion. One explanation that I saw, and it goes back to something that we discussed at the beginning of the parak, is that the Rambam holds that all of these halachas about distancing, or whatever else Chazal indicate you have to do to prevent damage, are midaraisa. So if we have our Gemara with a Sofik deraisa l'chumra, and that's why the Rambam says you have to do both. But I saw an interesting psak from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says we don't really have a proof that the Rambam holds that these halachas are midaraisa. But the Chazon Ish says that the Rambam is teaching us an important lesson. Whenever there's a question that chas v'shalom I may be causing you damage, even if it's not a din deraisa, if I may be causing damage to somebody else, we have to be machmer to avoid causing damage. And therefore there's a question, what should be done? Do both or do one? Because it's a question of causing you damage, we have to be machmer and do both. So we learned in the Mishnah, machikas, agefes, v'sazevo, v'samelech, v'saslam, all these different items, materials, have to be distanced from a wall. There's a Mishnah we learned together in Masech to Shabbos. The halach is, on Shabbos itself, hatmana is osur. That means, taking my pot of food and covering it with any material on Shabbos itself is always osur. On Erev Shabbos, there's a difference between something which is mois of hevel versus something which is not mois of hevel. Something that increases the heat is even osur on Erev Shabbos. If it doesn't increase heat, it's mutter. The reason is, because one of the materials that is mice of hevel are coals. So Chazal said that if you're going to be matmin and something mice of hevel, you may be matmin and coals. And then on Shabbos you may come to stir those coals, which is havara in Issa deraisa. So therefore on Erev Shabbos, hatman is osa dover ha mice of hevel. On Shabbos itself, it's always osa. So quotes the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Tanan Hosam. What may you or may you not use for Atmar on Erev Shabbos? Ein Taimnim Loi Begefes is the leftovers after you squeeze olives. Loi Bezevel is manure. Melech is salt. Loi Sid is lime. Loi Bechal is sand. Bein Lachem and Yveshim. Whether the moist or dry. Ask the Gemara. Mishnah Hakadik Tani Sloim. Why does our Mishnah include Sloim? We explained when we learned the Mishnah, Sloim means stones that give off heat, flint stones. The Yerushalmi says that sloim here may mean coins. We're going to learn, like we've always learned, stones that give off heat. V'loy tanichol, but our Mishnah doesn't speak about sand. Or Mishnah Hosam, on the other hand, Hosam tanichol, the Mishnah speaks about sand, v'loy tanisloim, but doesn't mention sloim. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef, The reason the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos doesn't mention Sloim is Lefish Ein Dankeshim Ne'odim Lahatim Sloim. Typically, people don't use Sloim, and therefore the Mishnah saw no reason to for Atmana, and therefore the Mishnah there in Masechta Shabbos saw no reason to include it. And the Rimagash makes an interesting observation. So we answer the question why the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos doesn't mention Sloim, but we haven't answered the other question. Why doesn't the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Baba Basra, mention Chol? That question still remains. Says the Rimagash, sometimes the Gemara asks two questions. And once half the question falls away, the Gemara just abandons the entire question. And that's why the Gemara doesn't focus on the other part of the question. Ask the Gemara, is that a legitimate line of reasoning? Amle Abaya, v'chidat nashim ne'odam lahatman b'gizei tsemer l'shanish l'agamen, where people use wool, or purple wool, for Atmana, the Tanya that the Brisa teaches us, Toynin, Begizei Tzemer, we can use wool, or Begzipei Tzemer, different processed wool, and Belashon Yishal Gomen, purple wool, Bemuchin, a balls of wool, however, they metatan loisam, they can be used for Atmana, but you can't move these items, because they're all muksa. Why are they muksa? They're muksa, machmas, ksar, kis. Since they're very valuable, they're used to make garments, you can't, they're muks on Shabbos. So, you see, now who's going to use them for Atmana? Doesn't bother the Braisa for mentioning them. So we're seeing the fact that something is not typically used for Atmana is not a reason that it should be excluded. Ela Amarbaya, Yagrav Lavreya. The way to understand these two Mishnayis, that these two Mishnayis travel together. Tana Hachus Sloim. Our Mishnah speaks about Sloim. But the same thing would be by sand. Tana Hasam Chol, and the Mishnah there speaks about sand, but the same thing would apply to chsloim, to stones. Ask the Gemara, if Amle Rava, if we're saying that these two Mishnayis travel together, the one Mishnah and the other Mishnah work together and help us understand each other, so we need to understand. Lesninu Kula B'chada, let one of the two Mishnayis have the entire exhaustive list. The list nichod menai bidach. Let the other Mishnah only mention one of the items on the list. And that will be enough to trigger that we should understand that one Mishnah helps us understand the other Mishnah. Instead of having partial list here and a partial list here. If we're saying that these two Mishnayis work together, the way it should work is one Mishnah should have the entire list. The other Mishnah should only have one item of the list that should teach us and trigger that we should know that the two lists are identical. El Amarava, Hasam Hanatam Delek Tani Slaim. The reason the Mishnah over there doesn't mention Slaim, Shem Demishtachile Likdeira. Nobody will do Hatmana with stones because the stones will break the pot. Hacha Hanatam Delek Tani Chol. And the reason our Mishnah doesn't speak about sand as an item that may damage the wall, sand has a very interesting characteristic. It's like a thermos bottle. It makes something hot stay hot. And therefore the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, which is talking about hot food, sand will keep that hot food hot. But our Mishnah is talking about cold sand next to a wall. That won't ruin the wall, because it's cold, and cold sand doesn't give off heat. It's fascinating how when you learn Shas, when you learn Gemara, the Paiskim have an ability to take Gemaras that seem not to be connected to a specific Shailan Halacha and use it to teach us Halacha Lamaisa. In this Gemara, I saw two such examples. There's a tshuva from Rav Tzirlson, he was the Rav of Kishinev in Europe, where he was asked if somebody is allowed to pour, let's say you have hot water on your blech on Shabbos, are you allowed to pour the hot water into a thermos bottle on Shabbos? And he uses our Gemara with Tysus' explanation of our Gemara as a proof that you may. Tysus says that why is hatmana, as our Gemara just said, in stones, mutter, because nobody usually is matman in stones, because as the Gemara explained, stones will break your pot. Others say the pot will break the coins. It's the same concept. And therefore, since it's a milsad loy shricha, it's not in the category of Atmana. Says Rav Tzirilson, and all many Gedolei Yisrael agree with his psak. Rav Moshe, the Michas Elozer, L'Havdol Bechaim L'Chaim, Rav Ozner, they say as follows. What is the definition of Atmana? The definition of Atmana is that I have food in a pot, and now I want to be matman that pot. And as we discussed earlier, on Shabbos, before Shabbos, Dover Amois of Hevel, Dover Sheen Amois of Hevel. When we put something into a thermos bottle, we're not putting the pot into the thermos bottle, we're putting the actual liquid, the actual food into the thermos bottle. That is not the definition of Atmana. And therefore he says, even though conceptually it is similar to Atmana, but our Gemara taught us that if it's not exactly the case of Atmana, it's a Mitzvah L'Shchicha, it's not in the category of Atmana. And therefore he says you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. And you could pour something that you kept on your oven into a thermos bottle. That's one interesting psak that I saw. Then I saw a fascinating tshuva from the Shas HaTshuvos of Fraska D'Anya. He was asked the following question. The Rav of a city passed away. And there are two possible candidates to be the next Rav. One is a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't have that much personality. He's not able to be warm and to work with the community. And the other is a person who has a lot of social skills. He's not such a big Talmud Chacham. And he was asked, who should he choose? Who should they choose? So he says, our Gemara says, that what is the characteristic of sand? The Makari Kar, something that's cold remains cold, and something that's warm, sand can warm up. So he says, Klal Yisrael adoim to sand, similar to Kechol, the Pasuk says, Kechol Asher Asfas Hayam. So Klal Yisrael, if they need somebody to warm them up, so to speak, to bring them closer, you need to have somebody who has the characteristic of Chol, the Mekari Karu or Mechamri Chomim. Therefore he says you should take the Rav who has that social ability to get the community excited about Torah and Mitzvahs. But then, once we're speaking about the subject, there's a fascinating story with the Chafetz Chaim. There was a community in Europe whose Rav passed away. And the community started looking for a new candidate for the Rabbonis. But the Rav who passed away had a son who felt that he should be appointed to the position. The halach is, we know, that a kohen gadol, the Gemara speaks about it many times, if he has a son who's able to be a kohen gadol, had first rights to be appointed a kohen gadol. So this son came to the Chafetz Chaim and said, I should be appointed as the Rav. So the Chafetz Chaim gave a fascinating answer. Chafetz Chaim took out a Gemara, the Masechta Soita. The Gemara Masechta Soita discusses the Meshuach Mechama. The Meshuach Mechama was the general that went out with Klal Yisrael to battle. He was a Kohen who would excite and give a speech to Klal Yisrael as they went to war, that they should have the proper Yerushalayim, that they should be in the proper frame of mind as they go out to war. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you look in the Rambam says as follows. As far as a Kohen Gadol, the Rambam paskens, like we just said, that a Kohen Gadol's son has first, if he's at all qualified for the position, has first rights to the Kuna, Gedolah. Meshuach Mechama, the Rambam, the Gemara Masechta Soita, says that the Meshuach Mechama, we don't look at Yerusha at all. We look at who is the person most qualified. Why? Because they're in battle. It's a situation of Sakonis the Foshis. When it comes to take a general, when it comes to take a Meshuach Mechama, we have to take the most qualified person. Said the Chafetz Chaim. In a time where all of Klal Yisrael were observant, were learning Torah, were doing mitzvahs as they were supposed to be, so even if we take a Rav, who maybe we could find a more qualified Rav, but this Rav is the Yairish of the previous Rav, he goes first. But a Meshuach Mechama, every Rav nowadays is a Meshuach Mechama. We're in a terrible battle. The Chafetz Chaim said it about his times. It's probably the same now. Where Rav needs to stand on the front lines, bring the community close to Hashem. There we have to pick the best person, not look at Yerusha. Ask the Gemara. Vatan Rabbi Shechol, asked the Gemara, we're saying that Chol is not included, but Rabbi Shia did mention Chol, answered the Gemara, Hasam Masuna. Rabbi Shia, when he taught in his Braisa, including sand in the list, was talking about moist sand. Asked the Gemara, so Tana Didon, why doesn't our Tana, Nami Lisni, should include sand in our group? The Lutma Masuna will explain that the Mishnah is referring to moist sand. Answers the Gemara, Hatanalei Amas Hamayim. Our Mishnah already mentioned Amas Hamayim. So we already spoke about moisture damage. There's no need to speak another example. Ask the Gemara, Otamilek Tani Amas Hamayim, Victani Nevrek Sakaifsim. You're saying that the Mishnah, the Gemara is suggesting, ask the Gemara, that we only need one example of moisture damage. But our Mishnah already gives two examples. The pool, the irrigation canal and the laundry pool. So we see that our Mishnah is giving more than one example of moisture damage. So give another example, Chol. Answers the Gemara, Hani Tzrichi. Our Mishnah had to mention specifically both of these two examples. Ditana Masamayim. If our Mishnah had only mentioned the irrigation canal, Mishim de Kaviyah, there, it's always, the water is over there. Always there. Avon Nevrech Sakaifsim. The water is not always there. The Lakvi, it's only there when you're doing laundry. Emeloi. So perhaps that should not be considered a situation of moisture damage. On the other hand, Ditan and Nevrech Sakaifsim, if our Mishnah only mentioned the Nevrech Sakaifsim, Mishim de Kav Vakaimi. The water is stationary. That's why it causes damage. Avon Mas Hamayim, that the water is flowing. Maybe there, since it's flowing, it doesn't have an opportunity to do damage. Shrich, we had to mention both of these cases. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. But our Mishnah, as we've been learning, Pshat in the Mishnah, gives many other examples. The Mishnah gives an example about Bor, Siach, Ma'ara. So these two examples we understand. But what about all the other examples that we need to, that the Mishnah gives a moisture damage? So that's why some Rishonim explain our Mishnah, when it speaks about Bar Siach Ma'ara, it has nothing to do with moisture damage. Bar Siach Ma'ara create damage even without any moisture. One Pshat I saw in the Rishonim. Another Pshat I saw in the Rishonim is that Bar Siach Ma'ara have a different point. Bar Siach Ma'ara are typically deeper than Amas Hamayim and Nevrech Sakaifsim. And therefore, we would think, since they're deeper pits, three tefachim is not enough. You need more than three tefachim, because they're so deep in being, they're such deep ditches. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if those are deep, three tefachim is enough. And as Tosfos taught us at the beginning of the parak, so now we understand why bar needs to be included, because it's deeper. But why do we need to see a chamara? So Tosfos answered, because the derech of Shas, it's usually refined throughout Shas, that when the Gemara says, when the Mishnah says bar, it also mentions siach umara. Me'achikim says zroim as machrisha. We have to distance seeds and the plow also from the wall. Ask the Gemara, zroim tepeklei mishim machrisha. Ask the Gemara, whenever you plant seeds, you have to plow first. So why does the Mishnah have to mention seeds? Plowing is already mentioned, and plowing already requires the distancing. Answers the Gemara, but ma'poilus yad. We're talking about a case where we're not planting seeds in the normal fashion. We're just throwing down the seeds. And therefore, plowing is not necessary. Ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to mention Machrisha? Plowing, but typically Mishnah's Roim, as Rishonim explained the Gemara's question. What is the purpose of plowing? The purpose of plowing is to plant seeds. So once the Mishnah mentions seeds, plowing is already included. So why does the Mishnah have to mention plowing and laying seeds? And the Gemara b'chayosh lilonis. As Rishonim explained, it's referring to a situation where, as we had in the previous shiurim, the tree was planted perfectly fine. And since the tree was planted perfectly fine, there was no other neighbors there, etc., there was no problem of the seeds when they were laid. Now we're plowing without laying seeds. We're just plowing to strengthen the tree. And therefore there's Charisha without Zriya. Says the Sefer Taras Chaim. Beautiful pshat from the Sefer Taras Chaim. If you learn our Mishnah, there's an obvious question. The Mishnah says machikim, it says roim v'semachrisha. The Mishnah's out of order. Don't we have plowing before putting the seeds down? So the Mishnah should have said machikim v'semachrisha v'sezroim in the proper sequence. Answer to save a Torah's chayim. Because our Mishnah wants to teach us what the Gemara just taught us. That it's not the regular situation of Zriya, which is preceded by Machrisha. It's Zriya that doesn't have Harisha, and it's Harisha that doesn't have Zriya. How does the Mishnah make that point? By mentioning Zriya before Machrisha. Ask the Gemara, the typically Mishamaya. But what about the watering? Doesn't the watering cause damage? Answer the Gemara, Tanaber Tisrael Kai. Our Mishnah is in Tisrael. So there is no additional watering that causes damage. Ask the Gemara, so what is our Mishnah teaching us? That you can't plant seed near the wall because the seeds are going to spread out and do damage to the wall. Ask the Gemara, Lememra, Dizroyim, Litzdodim, Kamishtarashi. Does our Mishnah teach us that seeds go sideways and grow sideways and do damage to the wall? Vatnan, there's a Mishnah, Masech Tekloyim, Hamavrich Sagefim Boritz. If somebody puts a vine into the ground, Im Ein Al Gaba Ofer Shloshet Tfochim, if there's no separation of three Tfochim of soil, Lo Yovi Zer Oleo. You can't plant seeds on top of that vine. As the Ramban explains, because doing such an act is an actual act of Klayim. Because since the vine is so close to those seeds, it's considered like you're doing klayim. The Tanya law, and the Bryson explaining the din of that Mishnah, says, Avazroim is etzadim elav elach. You can't put seeds directly on top of the vine. Because as we just explained, that's creating klayim. But to put seeds on the side of the vine, that's fine. Because the vine doesn't go sideways. So we see that they don't go sideways. Why are we worried here? The reason that you can't put seeds there is not because the seeds go sideways and will ruin the wall. It's a whole different issue. When you put seeds into the ground, they weaken the earth, and therefore the wall which will be near that earth will not be able to stand. Nothing to do with the seeds going sideways. Although, just for the sake of saying the halacha, even though our Gemara makes a distinction about putting the seeds directly on top of the vines versus putting the seeds on the side of the vine, that's only when you have one vine. But if you have a vineyard, and we described earlier the construction of a vineyard is five vines, then the halacha is different, that you have to be machmer even on the sides of the vineyard. But so Rameir Glaim, we learned that urine has to be distanced min ha-koysel gimel tfachim. On Rabbi Bechana, mutal adam lahash the mayim b'tzad koysel shchaveri. A person's urine, allowed to urinate next to his friend's wall. Tiksiv, as the Pasuk says in Melachim, v'chrati l'achav mashtim b'kir v'otzer v'ozer b'Yisrael. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy and going to eradicate from any of Achav's family anybody who could urinate. So it's mashma, it seems, that people could urinate. Otherwise, what are we talking about? Ask the Gemara, v'nantnan v'smei reglaim and akoysel shloish tfachim, that urine has to be distance three tfachim. And so the Gemara, hasam, is referring to a situation of shayfchim, where it's not just that you're urinating. Urinating will always be mutter. Here it's referring to a situation of pouring urine. That is more damaging to the wall. There's a machlokes with Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. It seems that the Gemara is teaching us that it's urine which causes more damage versus regular water. And regular water, you could pour because it's just regular water. Furthermore, machlokes with Rishonim, what does it mean pouring urine that we're saying is usur? Doesn't mean only when the urine creates or poured into like a hole, into a ditch. That's when they cause damage to the wall, or any pouring of the Meir Glayim will cause damage. Toshma, ask the Gemara, it says another Braisa, Layashtim on the mind b'ktzad koistish chaveri. Here the Braisa clearly says that you're not allowed to urinate next to that wall, emken hechak meni gimel tfachim, unless you distance gimel tfachim. Continues the Braisa, the medvarma morim, where does this then apply? B'koistil aveinim, by a wall made out of clay. Ab koistil avonim, a wall made out of stone, b'chdesh layazim. You have to distance less, only as much as it won't cause damage. Kama, how much is that, that it won't cause damage? Tefach. Vishatsumma, if the wall is made out of rock, mutter, then you, since it's a very strong wall, you could do it right next to the wall. But here it clearly says that by a wall, you're not allowed to urinate. Tiyufta, the Rabbi Chana Tiyufta. So now we see that the way to understand our Mishnah is not only regarding pouring Meiraglayim, but even actually being mashed in is also. Ask the Gemara for Rabbi Chana Krokama. Didn't Rabbi Chana speak about the Pasuk saying that anyone that Kadosh Baruch Hu will just eradicate from Achav's family all those that are mashed in Bekir, which seems to indicate that you're allowed to be mashed in next to the wall? So the Gemara Hasam Hachi Kamer. The way to understand that pasuk is as follows: I feel immediate that that l'shtuni bekar, even that thing, that individual who normally urinates l'shkinenle, I won't leave over from Achav's family. Who is it? Not a person. A person is not allowed to ever be mashed in near a wall. It's talking about a caliph. You can't legislate to a dog what he should do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the klala, the Navi is saying that the klala to Achav will be so strong that even no dog to Achav's family will remain. People are not included in Mashtim Bekir. The Rishonim ask, why didn't the Gemara just say simpler teretz? We just gave examples where you're allowed to be Mashtim if the wall's made out of Tzunma. So why don't we say that the wall that the Pasuk is talking about is Tzunma? So they say, simple teretz, walls were typically not made out of tzunma, so to say that the pasuk is speaking about such a wall is unlikely. I saw a beautiful vart that the Tzitz Eliezer quotes from his father. He says, Rashi, in Masech the Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Beis, this Gemara, the Gemara that quotes this pasuk, of V'chrati la'achav mashtim bekir, and Rashi, when he defines mashtim bekir, Eilu Talmidei Chachamim HaMispalelim Mekirois Libam. So he's referring to Talmidei Chachamim who daven with Kavana. So the Tzitz Eliezer's father asked the obvious question. Rashi must have known our Gemara. And our Gemara, according to the Maskana, defines Mashtim Bekir as someone, as a dog. So as Rashi said, talk about a Talmud Chachim. So he explains that besides the terrible Averis that Achav did, one of the things that Achav did was that he married Izevel, who wasn't Jewish. And someone who marries someone who's not Jewish, their descendants cannot be Talmid Chachamim, even if they're Megayer. So Rashi isn't wrong. Rashi is saying, yes, our Gemara says that Mashtim Bekir means a dog. But it also tells us that there could be no descendants of Achav who are Talmid Chachamim because he married someone who is not Jewish. Continues the Gemara. And as a word of, two words of introduction. Actually, if we start learning, as we start learning our Gemara, we'll see that the sugya that we're learning now is a sugya of Tumat Ara, which it's hard to understand how it comes into our Gemara. And Mitzvah Shem, in the coming Shurim, we'll be able to try to show a connection to our sugyas. The halacha is, there's a mace, or a kezias of a mace in the oil, in the house where, in a house, there's Tumas oil. Now let's say there are two houses connected and there's a window, an open window between the two houses. If that window is the size of a tefach al tefach, the tumma from one house will travel into the next house. Unless that area of tefach al tefach is somewhat made less. Says the Gemara, Amr of Tuva Bakisma Amishmu, Rokik en Matam Bechaloyim. If you put a wafer on the window, doesn't accomplish that it should be lessen it from an area of tefach al tefach. Ask the Gemara, my era Rokik, why does he choose to speak about a wafer? I feel avanami. You could have mentioned a regular piece of cake. Answer the Gemara, Loy mi boy ava, certainly a piece of cake, kiven de ichsele, since somebody could go and eat that piece of cake, loy mi vatale, So nobody's going to keep that cake there permanently. And since they're not, the cake will not be kept there permanently, it can't serve to lessen the area. Aval rokik. When you leave a wafer, which it's easier to get ruined, and it gets soft and soggy, and if I put it there, I'm going to leave it there, and therefore it should lessen the area of a tefach, kamash malon, that it doesn't. Ask the Gemara, for typically, they have a dovish makabal tuma. We know food is makabal tuma, and the aloch is called dovish makabal tuma. Anything that's able to be makabal tuma, ain't a chaitz b'fnei tuma, cannot be a barrier, and this is food. And in the Mefarshim debate, why not? One explanation is, if it can't save itself, as the Shem Tzion Balacha says, this explanation, then it can't save something else. Another explanation is that if the food itself becomes tameh, so if the food itself becomes tameh, obviously it's not going to stop tumah from spreading. Answers the Gemara, shenelish b'mei peres. This is food that doesn't become tameh, because we know for food to become tameh, it has to be mukhshel kabal tumah. It has to come in contact with certain liquids. May peres, fruit juice, are not machsher food to be kabal tumah, and this wafer was way than may peres. Taisus suggests that the Gemara could have actually given another teretz. The Gemara could have said that it's referring that the wafer isn't the size of a kebeya, and something that's not the size of the kebeya is not makabel tuma. Taisus says that typically food is not less than the size of a kebeya. I saw other mefarshim answer that since food less the size of a kebeya is not makabel tuma with the raisa, but it is makabel tuma with the rabbanon, so again it can't serve to lessen the area. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Kupa Malay Tevin, we have a box full of straw. The Chavis Malay Krogris, or a barrel full of figs. Hamanachim Bechala, Chalayin, that are placed in this window, right. Kilo Shoilu, you not knew, if the box were removed. The Chayin Tevin, the Krogris Lab, Mefneatzman, if they could anyway stand there, Chaytitzin. Vimlav, Ein Chaytitzin. But you see that they could serve as an item, as material, to lessen the tefach al tefach area. Ask the Gemara, for tefach chazla behemtoi. Can't you use the straw to feed your animal? So you're not going to leave it there. If you're not going to leave it there, how does it lessen the area? Says the Gemara, basaria. It's rotten straw. Ask the Gemara, chazla latina. But can't it be used for making cement? This bay kutsi. It has thorns, and you won't use it to make cement. Ask the Gemara, chaz lasaka, but can't you use it to make fuel, to make a fire? B'mesuna. It's wet. Ask the Gemara, chaz lasaka, you can't use it to make a small fire, but you can throw it into a large fire, they'll dry out the moisture. Answer the Gemara, hesagod lo shchiach. People don't usually make such large fires. Ask the Gemara, groigris or chaz lasaka, you could eat the groigris. A mishmul, b'shatrifo. It's referring that they got wormy. They came to Rabbi Bravu b'shatrifa. They're wormy figs that nobody's going to take to eat. They leave them permanently, and that's why they could serve as a material to lessen the area of the wall from being a tefach and preventing the tumah to spread from one house to the next.